Ephesians chapter number 6 this morning, and we're going to read just one verse. We're going to read verse number 13. I'm going to ask you, to stand in reverence and respect to the Word of God as we read from Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 13. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 13. Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. I want to speak to you on this subject this morning. Having done all, stand. Having done all, stand. Father, thank you for this time this morning. I thank you for all you do for us. How you care about us, how you've given salvation to us, which is so rich and free. How you've provided for us, even though oftentimes we don't realize the provision that you have given to us, like we learned in Sunday school about Joseph. So Lord, I ask that you'd guide us, direct us throughout this service, speak to our hearts, and teach us this truth. For we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I was tickled this morning. I hadn't looked at the lesson for Sunday school at all, being gone as long as we had been. On the 30-hour flight back to the United States from the Philippines, I don't know exactly how long we did travel, but it was longer than 30 hours. But during that 30-hour trip, I prayed and I asked the Lord, what do you want me to say to your people this week? I'm amazed at how the message this morning, as happens often, goes right along with the Sunday school lesson. And as Brother Lowell read the beginning and the introduction of the lesson this morning, I said, oh my goodness, it goes right with the message. So God has something He wants us to hear today on purpose. So I want to encourage you to listen carefully to what God has for us. Life goes by amazingly fast. We graduate from high school, attend college, get married, have children, attend their high school graduation, pay for their wedding, have grandchild, children, retire, and it feels like all that just happened yesterday. Because life goes by so quickly. At least, that's how it feels. This week has been, for my wife and I, a rare week in our lives. For the first time in years, we saw all 8 of our grandchildren in 1 week. And for us, that was a thrill. Some live near us, and you know them. Some live on the other side of the world, literally on the other side of the world. As we age, as people, sometimes we start to feel as if we've done all that we could do. And there's not much more for us to do. Sometimes, at different times in our life, we feel like, what's there left for me to do? I've worked. I've labored. I've provided. And it seems like life has brought us to a place of a standstill. We've accomplished what we set out to do with our lives. This happens at different times in people's lives. It happens to us when we're older, and we come to the conclusion that maybe life is rapidly ending for us. It comes at a time of when we complete a task that we've set out so hard to do, and now it's completed. And we wonder, what's next? What's next? When I think of this subject, I think of a sports player who played in high school sports, then went on to play in college sports, let's say football, for example, and then played football, and now at the age of 32, they retire, and they're tired. And all they've known for their life has come to an end. And they don't know what's next. Where do I go? What do I do? It seems like everything I've tailored my life for has been completed. Sometimes it happens when we change jobs or lose our job or retire. A person could be employed by a company for a number of years and suddenly they're without a job and something may not even be available in their field and they feel, now what? What do I do now? Well, I got the answer from the Bible. Are you ready? Stand. That's the answer. Stand. S-T-A-N-D, stand. Verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. It's difficult sometimes to know what God wants you to do next, but I can always tell you this, God always has something for us to do. We saw in Sunday school, Joseph didn't know what to do. Joseph was sold into slavery. Joseph was bought as a slave by Potiphar and put in his home. And Potiphar's wife accuses Joseph of an attempted rape or adultery. He's taken and thrown into prison. And in prison, it doesn't look like God's there. Come on, let's be honest and realistic about this. It doesn't look like God's real. What am I supposed to do? I thought God had something for me. I had a vision for my life. I had a dream that had to be fulfilled. And here I am in the middle of a stinking, putrid, ugly, vile prison. What do I do? We do the same thing that He did. He stood. He wasn't moving forward, at least he didn't think he was, but at least he wasn't backing up either. He took a stand. What do you mean by that, preacher? Well, I'm glad you asked me that question because I got the answer for you. Here's what I mean. What Scripture is saying, when I've done all, stand, it means we need to stand when we don't know what to do. We need to continue to stand. And I'm going to give you 10 things we need to stand for. Stand for what? Stand for the Word of God. No matter what happens in our life and no matter where we're going or what's going on, we need to stand for the Word of God. The Bible is God's Word. It's true. I can depend on it. I can follow it. And there's somebody in your life that's looking for someone who knows an answer and they're looking for someone who really believes this Bible is the Word of God. If you don't know what else to do, and it doesn't look like there's anything else for us to do yet, we can stand on the Word of God. It's God's Word. I can depend on it. It's better than having money in the bank. God says, call unto me and I will answer thee. Hey, that's a promise, isn't it? So God's going to hear and answer my prayer if I call upon Him. Call upon me and I will answer thee. And I'll show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I can depend on God. I can be faithful. Someone needs you and needs me, no matter what point of life we're at, to continue to stand. Football player may be retiring at the age of 32. If he's a Christian, he needs to continue to stand for the Word of God so he can lead his children to a greater future than what they would have without the Word of God. Our grandpa, grandma, we need to stand for the Word of God so our children and our grandchildren know as they get older and as life seems to beat up on them, they know that they can depend on the Word of God because God never changes. Everything we know about God, comes from one place. The Bible. Without the Bible, I don't know anything about God at all. So everything I know and everything I trust comes from the Word of God. The second thing we can stand for. Stand for the next generation. Stand for the next generation. Stand for the next generation. I said, number one, stand for the Word of God. Number two, stand for the next generation. The next generation is looking to you. Mama, Daddy, those that follow you. Well, they're adults, yeah, but they're following you. They're looking to you. They're looking up to you. You, listen, here's what children go through, alright? They're born. And you take care of them, and you feed them, and you change them, and you dress them, and you teach them, and they look up to you. Oh, and then they get to be about 2 or 3 years old, and they think, oh, you're so wonderful, and they don't want to be away from you. And 5 and 6 and 7 and 8, and boy, you're important to them. And then they get into school, and then they turn into teenagers at about the age 15 or 16. They don't think you know anything anymore. They think everybody in the world knows more than you do. And then they get into their 20s, maybe in their mid-20s or late 20s, suddenly a light bulb turns on. This happens to every child, by the way. Suddenly a light bulb turns on and they go, hey, Mom and Dad knew something that I didn't know they knew. Mom and Dad are smart. And then as time goes on and they get in their late 20s, early 30s, the average child turns around and goes, wow, my Mom and Dad are geniuses. Why? Because you continued to stand. You stood for the next generation. And now they're in their 30s and their 40s and they're looking to you to see how you live your last days so that they know how to live their last days. They've never been there. They've never been to the place where the doctor says you have cancer or you may die soon. They've never been there. They don't know how to respond to that. They're going to watch you as you respond to that. They're going to watch you as you go into retirement and how you used your money and how you took care of the family and how you took care of your wife and how you took care of your husband, how you took care of your home. You're an example to them. The next generation is looking to you. So ladies and gentlemen, there's always something to stand for. Stand for the next generation. Not only do your children look up to you, your grandchildren look up to you. You know your children, grandchildren look up to you more than your children do? That's just a fact. I love my parents. I miss my mom and dad so much sometimes. I just wish I could sit down and have a conversation with them because I wish I could learn some things that they knew. And they died so early, I never got a chance to learn them from them. Oh, I'd love to sit down with my parents now as I'm a grandparent and enjoy fellow grandparenting together. But they're gone. And I know my parents knew some things there. And I remember as a boy, I looked up to my grandma and grandpa. I could tell you all sorts of things about my grandma and grandpa. I spent all sorts of time with my grandma and grandpa as much as I could. I remember one day my dad looked at me and said, where did you learn this from? I said, I learned it from grandpa. He said, he's never talked to me about those things. I said, well, did you ever... Kids... Did you ever ask him? I was asking him questions and he told me all about it. Really? Oh, I love spending time with my grandparents. I love spending time with my grandparents all the way up to both of them until my grandparents each passed away. And I loved spending time with both my grandmothers and my grandfathers. I loved it. I couldn't tell you how much I waited for them to come when I was a kid. Mom and Dad say, Grandma and Grandpa are coming today. All right, yee-hoo, all right. And then those kids would get together and they'd say, what time are they going to be here? And then we'd find out from our mom and dads, we'd go stare out the window. And then when they'd pull up the driveway, we'd be yelling and screaming, Grandma and Grandpa are here! Grandma and Grandpa are here! And we'd run out to the car. Well, that's how my grandkids are to me. It's exciting. I know they get older and then they say, who's coming? Oh, okay, well, I'm not worried about that. But they love you. A friend of ours, son, got married. And we went to the wedding. And the son got up to speak just for a moment before the wedding. He said, I want everybody to know that my best man is my grandpa. I've asked him to be my best man at my wedding. I don't know a better man. I don't know a greater man. My daddy learned everything he knows from my grandpa. My daddy's taught me everything he knows, and I'm learning everything I can from my grandpa. What a wonderful thrill it was for that grandpa that day to stand as a witness at his grandson's wedding. Listen, there's a generation following us that looks to us. We need to continue to stand on right to show them that God knows what He's doing. Listen, they're looking to you. Do you read your Bible while they're there? Do they see the old rugged Bible in your hands? Do they know that you pray for them every day? Do they know that you love them? Do they know that you care? Stand for the next generation. Amen. Number 3, stand for truth. Stand for truth. Dale said it in Sunday school. Stand for truth. Listen, we need a generation of people who will stand for the truth. I am so sick and tired of everybody telling this lie about this person to get that stuff from this group over here. Lies, lies, lies. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of things being changed in history because people don't like the way things really went. Stand for truth. Amen. Stand for the truth of history. Stand for the truth of the Word of God. Don't allow folks to change things. Stand for truth. Amen. We need a generation of young men and young ladies who know what the truth is. They're looking for truth. We're older now. We know. We know things they don't know. We need to stand for the truth so that they know the truth. So that they know how to build a future. So stand for truth. I said number one, stand for the Word of God. Number two, stand for the next generation. Number three, stand for truth. Number four, stand for moral character. Stand for moral character. Boy, we're losing that all across the world today. Moral character. Listen, right is right and wrong is wrong. I saw a little video on the news this morning about a man that had left his home on Friday night and he had to run to the store quickly, so he took a big bowl of candy and put it out on his front porch. It says the trick-or-treaters came by and he left a little note there that said, just take one and go until I get back. And so a dad, making an example to his children, comes up there and starts to load each of their bags filled with the candy, just taking as much as he could. Selfish, selfish, selfish thievery. Amen? We need to stand for moral character today. You know what that dad taught his children? Steal and get all you can for yourself. We forgot what it was like to care about others. What made the World War II generation a great generation is they cared about other people. They didn't just care about themselves. They cared about others. We need to care about other people. We need to live for truth. We need not to teach people how to lie or cheat or steal. We need to teach them that if something's wrong, if you've done something wrong, then stand up like a man, stand up like a woman, and admit to what happened. Tell the truth. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing greater than being able to become a nation with moral character. The moral character of our nation is shifting terribly bad. I wonder why that is. Maybe it's because they're learning it from people like that daddy. Isn't it a shame and a heartbreak? We need to have moral character today, where husbands and wives stay married, where they say, till death do us part means until death do us part. And we work out our issues instead of saying, well, I got a starter marriage over here. I'm going to leave this guy and go over to this guy. Or I'm going to leave this girl and go over to that girl. We need to have people that know character. I thank God for many of the older generation, especially those here in this building today, that give examples. I think the youngest married couple here is me with 30, oh boy, sure glad my wife's not here this morning. I can't remember how many years it's been. I think it's 34 or 35 years of marriage. I know it's close. 34 years of marriage. I think the next to me is 50 years of marriage. That's marvelous. That's the way the generations are supposed to be. That's the way it's supposed to be in America. That's the way it's supposed to be for a Christian. And our young people need to see that. They need to know that we can get through hard times. Listen, if you've been married more than a year, you've been through hard times. If you've been married for 10 years, you've been through ups and downs. But when you've been married over 30 years, you've been through it. Amen? And you come out the other side. When you've been married for 50 years, I think everybody ought to get a bronze star. Amen? Why? You learned how to get through hard times. You learned how to get through the difficulties. You learned how to trust each other. You learned how to be married. You learned how to have relationships. Our young folks need to know that. And if we don't stand for that moral character, who will? Number five, we need to stand for our church today. We need to stand for our church today. I said, number one, stand for the Word of God. I said, number two, stand for the next generation. I said, number three, stand for truth. Number four, stand for moral character. Number five, stand for church. Listen, our nation is headed to hell in a handbasket because we don't go to church anymore. Our young folks don't even know what it means to be a dedicated Christian. We need to teach that. So as we stand, listen, we may not be able to go further. We don't know what God wants us to do. We're at a new place in our life and we're not sure where to stand. Hey, stand for church. Be faithful. Be instant in season and out of season. Amen. Be faithful. This is your church. Stand for your church. You're supposed to be here when the doors open. Be here when the doors are open. Amen. A great preacher I once knew that built a church of over 7,000 in Tennessee used to stand up in his church service, every service, and say, it takes three to thrive. Three to thrive. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, three to thrive. He retired. His church, he built a church building a few years before he retired of over 7,000 to hold 7,000. And the building held many more than that. He had over 15,000 church members when he retired. On January of this year, the church had sold off the buildings, changed their name, moved over to a little piece of ground so all 35 people that were left could continue in their church. What happened? People quit standing for church. We're busy making money. Sunday's just another day. Oh, not to be. It's the Lord's day. That's what the Bible says. It's not what I say. It's what the Bible says. It's not my opinion. It's God's opinion. It's not my view. It's God's view. If God says it, then that settles it. Amen? So it's God's day. Let's treat it like it's the Lord's day. And let's put it up as important. Why do not people think that church is important? Because many Christians today don't think church is important. It's more important that I get paid double time. Because it's working on Sunday. You know. Helps my family. Can I tell you how to really help your family? Be faithful to church. Because when that job's gone, church will still be there. And if they've lived their life around their pocketbook, then when their pocketbook struggles, they have no God to run to. But you keep them in church, and you teach them about church, and you got them in church, and they'll have something to hang on to. Number six. I need to go. Number six. Stand for winning the lost. Stand for winning the lost. Stand for winning the lost. Ladies and gentlemen, may I say today, hell is real. And if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're going to spend eternity in hell. Now I believe today we probably don't have anybody unsaved here. But I'll say this again. We need to stand for the winning of the lost. There are people all over this area who are dying and going to hell. All you got to do is look in the obituary every day. Every time I open up a newspaper, one of the first places I go is to an obituary. You know what I find out? There's always people dying. But my question is, where are they going? If they're not going to heaven, then they're going to go to hell. The Mormons aren't going to tell them how to go to heaven. No offense to the Mormons, but they don't believe what we believe. They don't believe what this Bible says. Surely the terrorists around the world aren't going to teach them how to go to heaven. Amen. So if we don't teach them how to go to heaven, then how are they going to know? I told you a little bit ago that I spoke in a public schools in the Philippines. They allow that. They want that. A teacher got saved, came to church this Sunday, even though I already left the country. That's a wonderful thing. We got people all over our schools today that won't even allow the name of God to be spoken. Oh, you can't say Christmas because Christ's name isn't Christmas and you're going to offend a Muslim. Hello. Ladies and gentlemen, people are on their way to hell. And if we don't tell the young generation that heaven is real and that God loves them so much, He gave His only begotten Son, then they're not going to know. We need to stand for the winning of the lost to Christ. Number seven, we need to stand for Christ's soon return. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming again. I believe He's coming soon. I believe it may be in my day. It may be in my time. I don't know, but He's coming back. And I need to live my life in such a way and stand for the return of Jesus Christ that if Jesus came back today, I'd be ready. And I don't just mean ready by being saved. I mean I'd be ready to face Him. I wouldn't be ashamed of anything that's going on in my life or in anything I'm doing. We need to stand for the soon return of Jesus Christ. Number 8, we need to stand for right rather than the convenience of wrong. We need to stand for right rather than the convenience of wrong. I said earlier we need to stand for truth, but we also need to stand for right. This is right and this is wrong. You know, we live in the grays. We live in a gray area. Well, it may be good for you, but it's not good for me. So it's not convenient for me, so I don't think it's wrong. If God says lying is wrong, is lying a sin? Yeah, sin is missing the mark. Is that true? All right. Now, I know this is a hot subject in Texas. Homosexuality is sin. Not because I said it's sin, but because God says it's sin. Not because the government says it's all right, but it's just not convenient for me. I just don't understand why. Listen, I don't understand it. I don't have to understand it. Listen, if lying's a sin, if adultery is a sin, if using the Lord's name in vain is a sin, God says it's wrong for us to use our body for that which is unnatural. It's a sin. I know it offends a lot of people, but right is right. And wrong is wrong. We don't have to be mean. We don't have to be nasty. We don't have to be ugly about it. We need to be loving about it. If a person came to me and they had a liquor problem, and they were a drunkard all the time, I wouldn't be yelling and screaming in their face, telling them they're dying and going to hell. I'd want to help them. First, I'd win them to Christ. Then I'd help them with their addiction. It's a sin that's gotten them. That's the way homosexuality needs to be approached. Just like some people are compulsive liars. They are just a compulsive liar. They need help. They need someone to have compassion on them. Not yell and scream and mistreat them. But not to accept it either. You know what we do? We accept someone's sin, then we justify it for them. Instead of saying, no, this is wrong, but let me help you do right. I'll help you. I still love you, even though you're doing something. I still love a liar, even though they're lying. They may irritate me that they're lying, but I'm still going to love them. I'm going to still love someone who has an alcoholic problem or a drug problem or using the Lord's name in vain problem. Those are wrong. Those are sin. But those are issues that can be solved. And ladies and gentlemen, homosexuality can be solved. It's just a sin that needs to be dealt with in a loving, caring way, just as we deal with anybody else about any other sin. And the truth is that right is right. Wrong is wrong. And there are people that you know and there are people that I know that have sexual issues. And that's what it is, a sexual issue. It's just as wrong to run around on your wife as it is to run around on your husband. Amen? And it's just as wrong to have an inappropriate sexual relation in homosexuality. It's still wrong. It's still sin. I know that it's not popular. And it hurts a lot of people's feelings. But I'd rather tell you the truth and stand for truth than allow you to believe a lie and become destroyed. Amen? You know, people that love you tell you the truth. People that don't care will let you do whatever needs to be done. And in America, today, we want to believe a lie more than we believe a truth. We need to stand for right. And wrong versus wrong and the convenience of wrong. Number 9, I need to hurry. Stand for loving thy neighbor, your family, and the Lord. We need to stand for loving our neighbor, our family, and the Lord. Where can we stand, preacher? What can I do? It seems like I've come to a place in my life I'm not sure what the next step is. Stand. Stand for loving your neighbor. We need to love our neighbor as ourselves. We need to love our families. Amen? We need to care about those in our family. We may not all get along, and that's true. Almost in every family there's someone we don't get along with. But that doesn't mean we're not going to love them anymore. That doesn't mean we're not going to have compassion for them anymore. That doesn't mean we're not going to try to help them in everything we can help them with. And sometimes that means we have to tell them no, because that's going to help them the most. But we're going to stand for loving our neighbor. We're going to stand for loving our family. And then we're going to stand for loving the Lord. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And then it says, and thy neighbor as thyself. I love me. I do. You know what I did this morning? I fed me because I love me. I took my medications this morning because I love me. I took a shower this morning because I love me. And I love you because I didn't want to stink real bad. I'm just saying that we love ourselves. And we need to love our Lord more than we love ourselves. And we need to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. So we can stand for love. That'd be a good thing to stand for, you know. Compassion. And then finally, number 10, we just need to stand. Just stand. It's easy to sit down. It's easy to quit. It's easy to give up as we get older in life. But we could stand. We could just simply stand. What can we stand for? Well, we just learned 9 things, didn't we? We could stand for the Word of God. We could stand for the next generation. We could stand for truth. We could stand for moral character. We could stand for the church. We could stand for the winning of the lost. We could stand for the return of Jesus Christ. We could stand for right rather than the convenience of wrong. We could stand for loving thy neighbor, thy family, and the Lord with all our heart. And then we could just simply stand. When it's difficult, when it's hard, just keep on standing. Keep on standing. Just like Joseph did. He did not realize what God was going to do for him. He didn't know. He didn't know that God's power was on him. He didn't know that. As Miss Redfern said in Sunday school, how would he know that? It surely would seem like God was against him. It's true. And there's many times in our life where it seems like we're down and out. We don't know what to do. We don't know where to go. But may I say, that's the time God's with us, even though we don't realize it. And what do we do during that time? The same thing Joseph did. Just stand. Just continue to stand. He kept standing for right. He kept standing for doing truth rather than a lie. He stood for the Lord. He stood for what he believed. He stood for his family. He stood for love. He stood for moral character. Just like we've talked about this morning, haven't we? And God wants you and I to stand. Our lives are far from being over. And if you don't know what to do for the Lord, we can stand. Having done all, stand. Father, thank you for what we've learned this morning.